It's an interesting thing. I'm going to speak today about the Parshios of the year, and I want to begin by mentioning something that I think probably most of you have noticed. Maybe not the extent or really the strangeness of what's going on. This year, Pesach fell out on a Friday night, and because Pesach fell out on a Friday night, the final day of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael was on Friday, and the final day of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz was on Shabbos. We in Eretz Yisrael, we read Parshas Tazria We in Eretz Yisrael read Parshas Achrimos on the last day of what was Pesach in North America or in Chutz La'aretz everywhere. And then and in Chutz La'aretz they read the Yontif Laning. And the following week we were staggered. We were laning Parshas Kedoshim, and in Chutz La'aretz, which I actually was in Chutz La'aretz at Shabbos, they were laning Achrimos. There's two very strange things about that. First of all, we wait about 16 weeks to reconcile the difference, which I'm going to discuss with God's help later. But even the stranger thing, and I don't know how often this happens, or maybe if this ever happens, is that this funny Yontif Shabbos staggered Parsha predicament didn't only happen this year, it also happened last year, and it's also happening next year. So the fact that it happens 3 years in a row, I certainly have no memory of that. Not that I was paying careful attention. It would be good for Google to figure out when the last time that happened, that we would have that 3 years in a row. We have it 3 years in a row because last year was the same situation. It was a simple year. It was not a leap year. It was a regular year. But also, the Seder was on Friday night. And next year we'll have it. Not the Seder will be on a Thursday night, on Wednesday night, excuse me. But we'll have it next year, Shavuos time, because Shavuos will fall out on Friday. And then the second day of Shavuos will fall out on Shabbos. And then once again, we'll be in the same quagmire, the same problem, the same thicket of confusing issues again, 3 years in a row. I want to tell you all about that, but this sugya, this topic, when it came up last year, really caught my attention about the more general question of how is it that the parashios are scheduled? Meaning, why do we have double parashios? How do we know which ones are double parashios? And then the very strange situation of why do we wait 16 weeks this year? Why last year do we wait a shorter time? Why next year do we wait an even shorter time? But in all the situations, in none of the situations, do we just fix it right away. Normally you would assume that this year we read Achrimos here. The next week we should have read Kedoshim. And in New York they should have read Achrimos Kedoshim. Fartik, we'd be finished with the whole thing. What do we wait 16 weeks for? So with God's help, we will get back to that. But I want to start by looking at the picture from a larger perspective of how are the Parshios scheduled. I want to tell you right now, the end of this year, right now. This way you'll remember it. The end of this year is, what I want you to learn is, that there's five rules. There are five rules for scheduling the Parshios, and if you know the five rules of scheduling the Parshios, then you pretty much have the whole thing figured out. Okay? Before I do that, I want to mention to you that the Parshios as we know them are not set in stone. Meaning we have 53 Parshios, 54 if you count the words, but it's 53, which I'll get to later. We have 53 Parshios according to the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Kamenyan Gan. We have 53 Parshios. But it wasn't always that way. It used to be in Eretz Yisrael, they would read the Torah every 3 years. They had somewhere between 140 and 170 Parshios, what we call Parshios today. Sdarim, they had a lot of them. If you ever look in a Koran Tanakh and you can't figure out what page you're supposed to be on because the Prakim seem to be misaligned and everything like that, it's because they, for some crazy reason, they list the Parshios as well. Not sure anyone ever used that for anything, but they list that in the Koran Tanakh because they hearken back to the way it used to be when there were 100 and some odd, more than 150 weekly sedras. According to our minhag, there's 53. So there's five rules, okay? And that's what we're going to develop today. We're going to develop the five rules. Okay? And I'll tell you in advance that the five rules relate to how the Parshios connect to the holiday of Pesach, how they connect to the holiday of Shavuos, how they connect to Tisha B'Av, how they connect to Rosh Hashanah, okay? And finally, whether there's two Shabboses between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot or only one Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. Those are the five rules. Again, I don't expect you to know them yet now, but I'm laying it out that there's five rules. So by the end of, with God's help, by lunchtime, we'll know the five rules, but I'm telling you now, the five rules are all related to the holidays, and that's what we're going to, with God's help, develop. The problem, of course, of why do we have double parashios at all, that is related to just a simple calculus. There's 53 or 54 parashios, depending on how you count, In any given year, there's between 50 and 55 Shabbases. Okay, if it's a leap year, it could be as many as 55. If it's not a leap year, it could be as few as 50. If you have 50 Shabbases and 54 Parshias, you're going to have double Parshias. In addition, we don't lane the weekly Parsha when it's Yontif or Chol HaMoed. So since we don't lane the weekly Parsha when it's Yontif or Chol HaMoed, we lose an additional 2 to 4 Shabbases per year. So there's at least a gap of not at least, but there's usually a gap of around 5 or 6 parshas that we have to account for, because some of the Shabbases during the year are Yontif, and some of the and there's not enough Shabbases in the year to begin with. So that's the basic problem. There's a large variety of old minhagim about how they used to solve this problem of having 53 parshios in a 50 Shabbos year. There's a large variety. If you look in the older form of the Rishonim, and even later than the Rishonim, you see that the parshios were divided in different ways. There's nothing per se sacred about the way we divide them today. There's nothing, if on a halachic level, I should say. I think on a deeper level, there's reasons why Klal Yisrael and Hagim developed this way. But on a halachic level, there's nothing per se that's sacred about the way the parshios are arranged. One notable thing that the Talmid Chachamim in the room will remember is that if you look in the Sefer Achinuch, so you see that in the Sefer Achinuch, he divided Mishpatim into two parts. Right? And when you look up the mitzvahs in Parshas Mishpatim, he tells you how many mitzvahs there are in Parshas Mishpatim, and how many there are in Kesef Talda. So we know that the Parshios, as we have them, are not per se the way that they were. In the olden days, they solved the problem of the Shabbos very simply. They just split up certain parts. They used to split them up this way, split them that way, different towns with different ways. But today we have a unified rule. So everything that we're going to discuss today is based on our minhag, which is based on the customs of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam's minhag became the prevailing minhag in how to structure the parashios. So with that, in order to develop the two of the rules that I spoke about, two of the five rules, I want to call your attention to a source sheet that's in front of you, to the first source, which is a Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah says, Tanya. Tanya, as all of you know, introduces a brisa. Okay, we learned that at Shabbos. Okay? Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar teaches, Ezra tikkun lehem liYisrael sheyukarin klolos shabateras kahanim kodem atzeres. Ezra enacted an enactment for Klal Yisrael that we should read the curses that appear in Torah's Kohanim. Torah's Kohanim is Leviticus, literally. Okay, it's the nickname that Chazal give to Sefer VaYikra. Okay, all of the Greek names of the Chumash are related to Chazal's names. Right, the book of Genesis is Sefer Yetzirah, and the book of Exodus is Sefer HaGeula, and the book of Leviticus is Torah's Kohanim. The book of Numbers is Chumash HaPikudim, and the book of Mishneh Torah is Deuteronomy. Not that we know what Deuteronomy means, but it means Mishneh Torah. Okay, Deuteronomy, something like that. Okay, so Ezra made the enactment that we should read the klolos, the curses that are in Torah's Kohanim, that is to say what we call the Tochacha, which appears in Parshas Bechukotai, it should be read before Atzeres, before the holiday of Shavuos. V'sheba Mishneh Torah, and the klolos, the curses that appear in Mishneh Torah, in Deuteronomy, and Devarim, which are the ones in Parshas Kisavo, those should be read Kodem Rosh Hashanah. They should be read before Rosh Hashanah. So the first of the rules is that we have to structure the Parshios so that we read the Tochacha of Bechukosai before Shavuos and the Tochacha of Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. My time, what's the reason that Ezra made this enactment? Amar Abaye v'itema Reish Lakish. Abaye said, and some have a version that it's Reish Lakish, Kedesha Tichle Hashanah v'kilolosea. The reason that we want to read the Klolos before Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos is so that the year and its curses should be signified to be coming to an end. In order to get rid of the curses of the year, we read the curses of the year before Rosh Hashanah. Ask the Gemara, Bishlama, I understand. Bishlama is a function term that introduces, after a two-part statement, that one of the two parts doesn't make sense, and even though it starts by saying something positive, it's really an introduction to Akasha, so its definition and its function are different one from the other. Okay, so this, right? Okay, and it's nothing like Hanicha, okay, which took me about 5 years of teaching in Chappelle's to figure out. Okay, so Bishlama Sheva Mishneh Torah Ika Kadesha Tichla Shana V'Kilu Losea. I understand why I understand the fact that if you read the curses that are in Dvarim, that is positioned vis-a-vis Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's reasonable to say that you're reading them in order to do away with the curses of the year before the Rosh Hashanah, with the end of the year. Ela Shabbateras Kohanim, but the ones that are in Torah's Kohanim and Vayikra, Atu Atzeres Rosh Hashanah, is Shavuos Rosh Hashanah. Why is Shavuos Rosh Hashanah? Answers the Gemara in, no, Shavuos does have an aspect of being Rosh Hashanah. Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah, Atzeres is also a Rosh Hashanah. Ditnan, as the Mishnah says, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Uba'atzeres al peiris ha'ilan. The Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that Klal Yisrael is judged not only on Rosh Hashanah, but it's also judged at other times during the year for various parts of the Geshamim and the peiris ha'ilan and the Tevua. So each of the Gimel Regalim has an aspect of being a Rosh Hashanah. So we read the Klalos and Torah's Kanan before this mini Rosh Hashanah called Shavuos. So fine, that's rule number one. You want to know how we schedule the Parshios? We have to schedule the Parshios in a way that the curses of the Chukosai will be read before Shavuos, and that the curses of Devarim will be read before Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos on the Daf there says as follows, in the second line, Shalom Beis Medrash Rabbeinu Nisim. There was a kasha that was asked in the Beis Medrash of Rabbeinu Nisim, Lama Mechalkin Parshas Nitzavim Vayelach V'Shnayim Kishayesh Beis Shabbosos Bein Rosh Hashanah L'Sukkos Below Yom HaKippurim. Why is it, they asked in the Beis Medrash of Rabbeinu Nisim, why is it that we split Nitzavim Vayelach into two when there are two Shabboses between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos, not including Yom Kippur? Okay, now what does that mean? It means that Rosh Hashanah can fall out of one of 4 days during the week. Rosh Hashanah can fall out on a Monday, or a Tuesday, or a Thursday, or a Shabbos. Those are the only days that Rosh Hashanah can fall out. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday or on Shabbos, there's only one Shabbos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos. Because either Rosh Hashanah is Sukkos, and then the next week is Shabbos Shuvah, and then Sukkos again is Shabbos, so there's only one Shabbos. Or Yom Kippur ends up being on Shabbos, so there's only one Shabbos. So there's either when it's on Thursday or on Shabbos, there's only one Shabbos. When it's on Monday or on Tuesday, there's two Shabboses. Whenever there's two Shabboses between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so Nitzavim and Vayelech are read separately. We read Nitzavim the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. We read Vayelech on Shabbos Shuva, and then we read Hazinu on the Shabbos in between Sukkos and Yom Kippur. When there's only one Shabbos, then we read Nitzavim and Vayelech together on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. We read Ha'azinu on Shabbos Shuva, and then there's no Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, either because one of them is on Shabbos, or because one of them if one of them is on Shabbos, then there's no Shabbos in between Rosh Hashanah, in between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. So we have no Shabbos there, and then we read, then we're finished. We read the Zohar Brachah and Simchas Torah. We start over again. So the question is, why do we separate Nitzavim Vayelech and not separate Matos Maseh? It says this, the Tosfos gives Ein Machalkin Matos Maseh. Why not separate Matos and Maseh? Aruchos Yoser. They're much longer. Now let me explain to you what much longer means. Nitzavim is 40 psukim. The whole Nitzavim is 40 psukim. Vayelech is 30 psukim. The whole Vayelech is 30 psukim. When they're read separately, it's like you can't even believe. It's like a Monday and a Thursday. You can't even believe how quickly, ironically, the Monday-Thursday of Nitzavim is ridiculously long. But you can't even imagine how quick the laning goes on Shabbos Parshas Vayelech. It's over in 5 minutes, the whole laning. So, and what's more than that, I want to tell you that the truth is that Nitzavim Vayelech, we call it a double Parsha. But technically, it's not a double Parsha. Technically, Nitzavim and Vayelech is really one Parsha, okay, which we sometimes separate into two. It's different than all the other double Parshas. Every other double Parsha, Tazria, Mitzayra, etc., it's two Parshas that we sometimes combine. Vayakal Pekudei, it's two Parshas that we sometimes combine. Nitzavim Vayelech is one Parsha that we sometimes divide. How do I know that? So I know that based on what the Rishonim write, but I also know that in your Chumash, if you open up the back of a Chumash, you'll see that every Parsha has a simon, a gematria at the end of the parsha, which is used as a mnemonic to remember how many psukim there are. If you look at the end of Parshas Vayelech, the mnemonic is equal to 70. It's not equal to 30. Can you follow that, Cheshbon? At the end of Vayelech, the mnemonic equals 70, because Nitzavim and Vayelech is one parsha. Okay, it's in every chumash that way. There's no chumash that doesn't have a printed that way that I've seen. So if you look at the chumash, this is like, you know, pretty much incontrovertible evidence. The Nitzavim Vayelech is one parsha, okay, and the rest of them. So the question is, it's even fiercer than the way Tosfos presents it. Why do we separate one parsha into two parshios, and not separate a double parsha into one parsha each week? It's even fiercer than the way that Tosfos says it. And then Matos and Maaseh, they're long. Just the Revi of Matos and Maaseh has more psukim than the whole Nitzavim and Vayelech together. Okay? Just one aliyah. Okay, by the Machnos, when it goes, talks about Amon Divlasaima and all those places. Okay, I think it's 71 psukim there, if I'm not mistaken, and there's 70 psukim in the whole Nitzavim Vayelech. So why not separate Matos Maaseh, which is two parshias, and read them separately, and is much longer? Why do we separate Nitzavim and Vayelech? Continues Tosfos, the Heishiv, he answered, or somebody answered in the Beis Medrash of Rabbeinu Nissim, Lefi Sheba'atem Nitzavim Yesh Klolos. The reason that we read Nitzavim, the reason we separate Nitzavim from and read it separate from Vayelech, is because in Nitzavim there are Klolos, Shekolel Yisrael, there are Klolos that Klal Yisrael was cursed with, Verotza L'Saimam Kodom Rosh Hashanah, and we want to finish off all the Klolos before Rosh Hashanah. So since Nitzavim has some curses inside of it, the reason we don't separate Matos Maaseh is because then it would move Nitzavim and Vayelech after Rosh Hashanah. We want to read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah so we can do away with all these curses. The Kasha, but this is very shver, says Tosfos. Sha'anu lo mechashvinon haklolos shakol Moshe Yisrael kidemashma perak hamochar zasvina. He says, that's wrong, because the klolos that appear in Nitzavim that Moshe cursed the Klal Yisrael, they don't count as klolos. That's a Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra. The Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra, at the end of the line, Amar Ablevi, bo ur'e shalo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. Take a look at how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of dealing with the world is different than the way that humanity deals with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu birech Yisrael b'chaf deiz, u'klolon b'shmoneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave 22 brachos and 8 curses. U'maisha bircham b'shmoneh, u'klolon b'asim u'shtayim. And Moshe did the opposite. Moshe gave only 8 blessings, and he gave 22 curses. God is more forgiving. God is more benevolent. Okay, he gave 22 benedictions and only 8 curses, and Moshe did the opposite. He gave 8 curses. What does it mean, Moshe and Kodesh Baruch Hu? Very simple. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Vayikra, okay, and Moshe is Devarim. Mishnah Torah is Ela Devarim that Moshe said. Hoil Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Azos. So the ones in Devarim, the Cheshbon is there's 22 blessings and 8 curses in Vayikra, and there's 22 curses and 8 blessings in Devarim. Tosfos goes on to say, I want to move a little faster, so I'll just tell you, Tosfos says that if you look at the Gemara there, it's clear that all of Moshe's curses are in Kisavo. None of Moshe's curses are in Nitzavim. So it's clear that the curses of Moshe don't count, and there's no reason to worry about pushing Nitzavim till after Rosh Hashanah. And furthermore, if you want to consider there to be curses in Nitzavim, then there's even curses in Ha'azinu. So it has to be that the only curses that count are the ones in Kisavo. So skip with me in the Tosfos, if you will, to Lechach Nira, 3 lines from the bottom in the middle. It says Tosfos, Lechach Nirali, it seems to me that the Peshat is different, why we separate Nitzavim and Vayelech. Nirali Hatam, the reason seems to me, Sha'anu Mechalkin Osam, the reason we divide them, is Lefi Sha'anu Rotzim Lehafsik Velikros Shabbos Achas Kodom Rosh Hashanah B'Parasha Shalo Tehem Medaberes B'Klolos Klal. The reason that we read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah and we separate Nitzavim from Vayelech is to make sure that we have a buffer parsha. We have a parsha in between the Klolos and Rosh Hashanah that has no Klolos in it at all. Shalo lehasmich haKlolos the Rosh Hashanah. In order to make sure that the Klolos are not only finished with, but they're also removed from by 1 week. There's a hafsaka, there's a break in between the curses and Rosh Hashanah. And so too finishes Tosfos and says, that's why we read Bamidbar before Shavuos, in order to make sure that the curses of B'chukosai do not come to Shabbos directly to Shabbos before Shavuos. So now we're going to revise rule number 1. Okay, the revision of rule number one, and then we're going to call it rule number one and rule number five. Okay, rule number one is that we set up the parashios in order to read the curses before Shavuos and Parashas Bamidbar before Shavuos. Parashas Bamidbar comes before Shavuos in order to make sure that there's a 1 week buffer between these curses and Shavuos. Rule number five is that when there's two Shabbos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, we split Nitzavim and Vayelech so that we can read Nitzavim, the Shabbos, before Rosh Hashanah, to make sure that there's also a buffer between the Klalos of Kisavo and Rosh Hashanah itself. If you're not following all these names, turn the page around for a second, just to make sure it's totally clear. Okay? If you look on the, there's a little graphic there. I looked for the red and white one from Torah Masorah that was hanging in my classroom in second grade, but I couldn't find it. Okay, so if you look in the Parashios, again, what we're talking about here is we're talking about the end of Vayikra. We read B'chukosai, the last parasha in Vayikra, before Shavuos. We also read B'midbar, the next parasha before Shavuos. And then later on, we read Kisavo in the middle of Dvarim, before Rosh Hashanah. That's the curses. We read Nitzavim also, and we separate it into Vayelech. We separate it from Vayelech. Again, technically speaking, this is not written properly. Because Nitzavim and Vayelech is really a single parsha, sometimes divided, but in the vernacular, we do them as two separate parshios that are sometimes joined together. Okay, so back to the other source, back to the front page. Okay? The Rambam tells us basically the rules. He says, "Haminag ha-pashut b'chol Yisrael," the simple, here the word pashut does not mean simple. It's a mistranslation. Pashut means well spread. Okay? Yeah, widespread. Okay, that's what, like poshet. Okay, it's the widespread minag in Yisrael, shemashlimin es haTorah b'shana achas, is that we read the whole Torah in 1 year. Maschilin b'shabbos achar chag haSukkos, we start reading Bereishis the week after Sukkot. The Korin b'seder Bereishis, by the way, simplest Torah never comes out in Chutzlaret on Shabbos, so therefore we never have this problem Sukkot time. Okay, so get ready for it coming out here on Shabbos though, which it does, which is confusing when you're not used to that. Okay, but anyway, so we start the Shabbos after Sukkot, the Korin b'seder Bereishis, we read Bereishis. Bishmiya Eila Toldos. The next Shabbos we read Eila Toldos. That's Noach, not Toldos. Eila Toldos Noach. Bishlish is on the third Shabbos by Yomer Hashem El Avrom. That's Lech Lecha. The Korin V'Holchen Al HaSeder Hazad Shegomrin Es HaTorah B'Chag HaSukkos. And this is what we do week after week, one parasha after parasha, until we finish it the next year on Sukkot. V'yesh Mi Shemashlam Es HaTorah B'Shalosh Shanim V'Einu Minag Pashut. There's some people who do it once in 3 years, but that's not widespread. Ezra Tikan on the Israel Shiv Karan the Klaus of the Sefer Vayikra Kodam Atzeres. The Rambam quotes the Gemara Megillah that we read already. You have to read the curses in Vayikra before Shavuos, the Shiva Mishnah Torah Kodam Rosh Hashanah, and you have to read the ones that are in Dvarim before Rosh Hashanah. Now, Minag HaPashut Sheyehu Karan B'Midbar Sinai Kodam Atzeres. And the widespread Minag is to not only read the curses, but also read B'Midbar the Shabbos before Shavuos. Now, he goes on, he says, furthermore, we have a Minag to read the Eschanan after Tisha B'Av. Okay? That's another one of our five rules, but we'll get to it soon. Atem Nitzavim Kodam Rosh Hashanah. We have to read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah, which is another one of our rules, okay, which we already mentioned. Tzav Es Aharon Kodam HaPesach. We also have a minute to read Tzav, Parshas Tzav, in the beginning of Vayikra, the Shabbos before Pesach, B'Shana Pshuta, which we'll explain soon. And that's only in a non-leap year. Now, if once we have all these minhagim, lefichach, therefore, yesh shabbosos shekorin shachris shnei sedarim. We have no option. We have to read double parashios in order to keep the pace that the Rambam is setting for you. Okay, and we're going to go through it very quickly in a moment. Kegon isha kisazria vizos tiatora samitzora. We have to read a double parasha like tazria and mitzora. Im b'chukosai im behar sinai. We have to read also B'chukosai with Behar. Very strange that the Rambam switches the order. Okay, in those two, that's a wacky thing. First, in the first one he says the first parsha before the second parsha, and in the second one he puts the second parsha before the first parsha. Okay? V'chayotzei Behen, etc. Kadesh Yashlimu Bashana, so we'll be able to fulfill the whole thing in 1 year. The Yikru Osan Astar and Bo'anas, and we'll be able to read them, and we'll be able to read them at the right time. The Hagos Maimani and Ashkenazi commentary in the Rambam quotes from the Rav Amram Gon in the next source and says, Beseder Rav Amram Kasav Simon. The Rav Amram gave some form of a mnemonic. Okay, it's not so catchy if you're not into the Aramaic, but he gave some form of a mnemonic. Pakid upesach. That's one rule. Pakid is the targum of the word sav. So sav and then pesach. Mana the atzar. Count. The midbar is filled with counting numbers. The atzar and then going to Shavuos. Tzom vitzali. Fast on Tisha B'Av and then go into the parsha of prayer va'eschanan. That's also the targum. Kum vitaka. Kum is nitzavim. Okay, nitzavim, you're standing. Okay, vitaka, and then blow the shofar. So maybe that was like a well-known song or something at that time. But for us, pakiru pasach manavatzar tzom vitzali kum vitaka is not entirely memorable. But that's the siman of the Rav Amram Gon. And then he explains that that's how it goes. Okay, that's the basic shot. So now let's turn around again to the other side of the page. Let's look at the parshias again. Okay. There are 23 Shabbases between Sukkot and Pesach. Okay? There's 23 Shabbases between Sukkot and Pesach in a normal year, in a non-leap year. There's one case, actually, where there can be 24. Okay? There's one, if you're, for the real calendar aficionados, there's one case where Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday. Rabbi Karlinsky will like this one. Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday, and there's 30 days in both Cheshvan and Kislev, and then Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. In that one form of the calendar, in that Hey Shin Aleph calculation of the calendar, that's the one case when there's 24 Shabboses, and it's the only case when Vayakel Pekudei are read separately in a non-leap year. Okay, it happens extremely infrequently. I checked. Okay, the last time it happened was 1994. Okay, the next time, very soon, is in 2025. So mark it on your calendar. It's very intriguing that it will not be a leap year 6 years from now, and we will still read Vayakel and Pekudei separately. But it happens like, I don't know, like 3% of the time. It's the least common of the 14 variations of the calendar. Okay? So if there's 23 parshios between 23 weeks, that's fine, because there's 24 parshios. So we read Bereishis, Noach, etc. There's no double parshios in Bereishis, because there's no reason to have a double parshios in Bereishis. The first rule that we're concerned about is making sure that Tzav falls out the Shabbos before Pesach. So we read Shmos with no double parshias either. At the end of Shmos, we combine Vayakel and Pekudei. Why do we combine Vayakel and Pekudei and not any of the other ones? So, simply speaking, it's because there was nothing compelling us to do it until now. I mean, it would seem the simple calculation is we generally have a tendency towards delaying it until we have to do it. There's no reason to read a double parsha till then. I once gave a share on this topic in Beit Shemesh, and two learned balabatim screamed out and said, "What about Truma and Tetzaveh? That's sometimes read together." I said, "No, it's not. It's never." I said, "No, when we were kids," I said, "No, for sure not. It was never read together ever. Okay, not since Rabbeinu Tam's time. Okay, so we and not before then. In fact, Tetzaveh was sometimes split in leap years in the old days. Okay, so we have no reason to combine a parsha." What we do have a reason to make sure is that Tzav ends up the Shabbos before Pesach.
Why was that again? Why is Tzav for Pesach?
I didn't explain yet. I'm going to explain it in a second, okay? Thank you. But Tzav, if we want Tzav to be the Shabbos before Pesach, so then we could read Vayikra and Tzav together as a double parsha, but then it wouldn't highlight that it was Tzav. Okay, so in order to highlight that it's Tzav, and this is my own theory, in order to highlight that it's Tzav, we don't combine Vayikra and Tzav. We really can't read Pekudei and Tzav together because it's Gatenish. I'm sorry, Pekudei and Vayikra. We really can't read Pekudei and Vayikra together because it just seems not religious. You know, it's two different sforim. I had a shiloh about this in this year with the Bechu Kosai B'Midbar, if somebody was in Chutz La'aretz and whatever, but okay. So we don't read Pekudei and Vayikra together, so therefore the one that we read together is Vayakel and Pekudei. It doesn't hurt that they're the same. That the parts are the same thing, meaning they lend themselves to a consistency that the topic area is directly connected one to the other, all about the construction of the Mishkan. So that's the first double parsha of the year is at Vayakal Pekudei. Now, here's where it gets pretty funky. Okay, because after Pesach, then we have 9 parshios, but only 6 weeks until Shavuos. And we have a rule that the Shabbos before Shavuos, we have to read Bamidbar. So in order to read 9 parshios in 6 weeks, we need 3 double parshios. So after Pesach, in a normal year, we read Shmini. Then we read Tazria and Metzora together. Shmini is one Shabbos. Tazria and Metzora together of second Shabbos. Again, my theory, Tazria and Metzora, one parsha. They're about the same topic. It makes sense. Is narratively, they just lead one right into the other. So Tazria and Metzora we read together. Then we read Achrimos and Kedoshim together. Not one parsha, but both are connected to the Inyan Arayas. Probably you want to cut down the coverage of that topic, not to depress us too much. Okay, to read them together. So we read, that's on the third Shabbos. On the fourth Shabbos, we read Emor. On the fifth Shabbos, we read Behar and Bechukosai together. On the sixth Shabbos, we read Bamidbar, and then it's Shavuos. There are always 6 Shabboses between Pesach and Shavuos. So we need to have 3 double parshias, and that's what leads us to that rule. So now let's list our rules so far. Rule number 1, we said, was you have to read Bamidbar before Shavuos. Okay? We'll call it rule number 2. You need to read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Rule number 3, you need to split Nitzavim and Vayelech when there's 2 Shabboses between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rule number 4, you need to read Tzav before Pesach. Why do you need to read Tzav before Pesach? So if you go back to the previous page, so there, I'll skip what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. We basically covered it. The Ber Halacha, which is the more in-depth portion of the Mishnah Berurah, explains, quoting in Abud Ram, why we read Tzav the Shabbos before Pesach. He says, Tzav kodem Pesach, mipnei shebitzav medaber mehagolas kelim. In Tzav, there's a reference to kashering kelim. Le'inyan nosar kudshin. The kashering kelim, when you have leftover, absorbed korbanos stuffs inside of the kelim. Vehagolas kelim mechametz lamud mekudshin. And the rules of Hagolas Kalim for Chametz, of Kashering Kalim from Chametz, are learned from Kudshim. The Gam, furthermore, he says, B'mu'uberes, in a leap year, Shekorin Mitzorah, Kodem Pesach, in a leap year, when we read Parshas Mitzorah, the Shabbos before Pesach, as we did this year, Dichsiv ba V'kli Cheres Yeshaver, and also in Parshas Mitzorah, there's a reference to a Kli Cheres being broken for Kashering purposes, or for Tumah purposes, Shehu ke'ein hagolas kalim, and that's like a thing like it's similar to hagolas kalim. So the Abud Ram says the reason that we read Tzav is because it's in the holiday spirit. Okay, Tzav is in the holiday spirit of Pesach because it talks about kashering kalim. So that's why we read Tzav before Pesach. Those are 4 rules. Again, we said 4 rules so far. Read Bamidbar the Shabbos before Shavuos. Read Tzav the Shabbos before Pesach. Read Nitzavim the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Read Nitzavim and Vayelech separately when there are 2 Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. There's the fifth thing is that we have to read Ve'eschanan after Tisha B'Av. Okay, almost none of you can't find this. Why that is? If you look in the Sfarim, it's hard to find. Okay, but there's a Tshuvas Ma'ariv which we're not going to have time to go through in detail. But the Ma'arid on the back of the page says that the reason that we read the Eschanan, the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, is because in Parshas Ve'eschanan there's a laning that relates to Golus. In fact, we read it Tisha B'Av morning, right? Kisoli Bunim. The laning for Tisha B'Av morning is in Parshas Ve'eschanan. In Parshas Ve'eschanan, when it talks about the Geula, it talks about, or no, I'm sorry, when it talks about the Golus, it says Vinoshantem. Okay, it says you're going to be there for a long time. And Vinoshantem is Rashi says is 852. That's the gematria. But really, we were Gnigal 850 years after the Churban, not 852 years. So, because there's a reference to Geula coming in the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so suggests the Ma'arit. I'm not sure who he's quoting from. The Ma'arit makes a suggestion that that's why we read. We read Ve'eschanan the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av because there's an aspect of Golus and Geula in it that we are trying to evoke by reading Vaskan on the Shabbos after. So those are the five rules. Again, Bamidbar the Shabbos, let's start from the beginning of the year. Tzav the Shabbos before Pesach, Bamidbar the Shabbos before Shavuos, Vaskanam the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, Nitzavim the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, and Nitzavim Vayelech separated when there's two Shabboses between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. Now, let's talk about what happened last year, this year, and next year. Okay? So, we have a situation like this this year. This year, because it was a leap year, we didn't read any double parshias. We still haven't read a double parsha this year at all. Okay? We didn't read any double parshias this year because we added four or five Shabboses, depending on how the leap year comes out. So there's no reason to read a double parsha. And it's worse than that. We can't even follow rule number one. You can't read Sav the Shabbos before Pesach because there's just too many Shabboses between the beginning of the year and Pesach because you have two udders. So that rules out the window. Okay, we got no choice. Okay, in the old days, by the way, they did. They fixed it. They separated Tetzava. They separated a bunch of parshios in Shmos, and they read Sav the Shabbos before. We don't do that anymore. We never separate any parshios except for Nitzav and Vayelech. We separate. Okay, so we came to Rosh Hashanah. We came to Pesach. And on Pesach, we read Parshas Mitzora, the Shabbos before Pesach. Okay? And then the Shabbos afterward, and it may help to look at the chart on the back. The Shabbos after Pesach, we read Achrimos. And in Chutz Laretz, they read the Yontif Leinim, Aser Taser. And then the next week, we read Kedoshim. Now, why don't we just combine Achrimos and Kedoshim right away and fix the problem? We could have no lag. Zero lag.
In Chutz Laretz, okay? If they do that in Chutz Laretz.
Right. If in Chutz Laretz they would have read Achrimos and Kedoshim. If in Chutz Laretz they would read Achrimos and Kedoshim together, then we would have no lag at all. They'd catch up with us after 1 week. Instead, we wait 16 weeks. Okay? So the Maharit writes, and again, I don't have time to read it inside with you, but the Maharit writes, and this is a very famous tshuva. This you'll hear, you know, every time this comes up, someone talks about this Maharit in the shul. Okay? The Maharit, who was a Ben Doro of the Beis Yosef a long time ago, the Maharit writes that it's very simple why we don't combine Achrimos and Kedoshim. Okay? He says, because in Eretz Yisrael, we already lost Tzav before Pesach. But in Eretz Yisrael, they also lost Bamidbar the Shabbos before Shavuos. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we have six Shabboses. We have seven Shabboses, right? We have seven Shabboses this year. It's the only case like that. We read Achrimos, Kedoshim. We read Emor, Behar, Bechukosai, Bamidbar, and Nusso. We read Nusso. We read this year Nusso, the Shabbos before Shavuos. That's against the rules. So the Maharit says, why should they catch up in Chutz Laretz in order to break, just because you're breaking the rules in Eretz Yisrael, why break the rules in Chutz Laretz? Now here it's important to explain. This Shaila is a modern Shaila, essentially. Even though the Maharit wrote about it 500 years ago, it's a modern Shaila in the sense that so what that an Eretz Yisrael and a Chutz Laretz that don't have the same laning? It clearly did not occupy the nerves of the Rishonim that there's not the same laning. After all, for a thousand years they were laning a different, all the time they were laning different. They were laning every 3 years in Eretz Yisrael and every 1 year in Chutz Laretz, and it never was linked up. And then it wasn't like today where some guy who works in high tech goes to have meetings in San Francisco and comes back for Shabbos, and once there's no, and then, oh, he skipped one Shabbos, he was away, and the Yungaliter are with the parents for Yuntif in America, and they come back to Yerushalayim. This freedom of movement between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, it's new. People weren't even going so much between Turkey and Tveri. You know, it's not. But so this preoccupation, and now there's announcements in the shuls in Harnofer and Mapet Shemesh and Ranana and Efrat and whatever of people with Laning Minyanim, it's new, it's pretty modern. Okay, in fact, the Rabbeim know that this wasn't even the case 30 years ago. I mean, it's not just that it wasn't the case 500 years ago. Even 30 years ago, it wasn't the same movement around of people going back and forth every, you know, all the time. So they weren't preoccupied with combining them, and they said, the Maharit says, why would we combine them just in order to break the rules? We want to preserve the rule in Chutz Laretz, keep it the way that it is. So that explains why we don't combine it until after Shavuos. But then even after Shavuos, right, why do we wait all the way until Matos Maseh? Why not combine Chukas and Bullock, okay, or something else? The answer is that we have a Seder the whole every year, and we try to keep the Seder. Again, we're not preoccupied with combining them. So we keep the Seder. And Chukas Balak is fundamentally not a double parsha. Chukas Balak is fundamentally two parshias. In fact, and this is news to people, we never read Chukas Balak together in Eretz Yisrael. Never. You look in your Chumash over and over again, Kishayim Mechubar and Kishayim Mechubar. We never ever read Chukas Balak together in Eretz Yisrael. The only case that Chukas and Balak is read together is next year. Next year, when Shavuos falls out on Friday and on Shabbos in America, in Chutz La'aretz, so next year, a few weeks after Shavuos, they will combine Chukas and Balak together in order to catch up with Eretz Yisrael. Okay? They'll combine it there in order to catch up.
Anyway, Matos and Masa
are together. Correct. So the Bari says we don't combine Chukas and Balak, we wait all the way until Matos and Masa. I wondered why in Chutz La'aretz next year will they combine Chukas and Balak if they're fundamentally not a double parsha. So next year we'll read Nusso the day after Shavuos. In Chutz La'aretz they'll read Aser Ta'aser. They won't read Nusso, they'll read it the next week. Why isn't the double parsha in Chutz La'aretz Nusso Bahaloscha or Bahaloscha Shlach or Shlach Korach or Korach Balak? Why Korach Chukas? Why isn't it Korach? Why do we wait till Chukas Balak? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. I don't know why Chukas and Balak are combined with one another. I have this chus to meet with Marina Rav Asher Weiss this morning about a totally separate topic, and I asked him this question. I said, why in Chutz La'aretz, when Shavuos comes out on Shabbos, do they read Chukas Balak together and not another one? And he said to me, I don't know. He says to me, and then he's paused and he says, there are many things I do not know. Okay? So that was what he said to me. But he said that if I come up with a theory, I should tell him. Okay, so if anyone here has a theory, you could either go straight to Rav Asher Weiss or you could come to me and I'll try to share it with him. I'm always looking for excuses to go to see him anyway. So that's this year. Just very quickly, because our time is up. Last year we had a inverse problem, which is that last year it was a regular year. We read Shmini on the day after Pesach, and in Chutz La'aretz they read the Yontif laning. We had an extra Shabbos last year, so we had to separate one of our two rather than put them together. Rather than Chutz La'aretz having to put one together, we needed to separate one of our two. We needed to separate either Tazria Mitzora or Achrimos Kedoshim or Bahar B'chukosai. That's an even bigger kasha. Why didn't we just separate Tazria Mitzora last year and be finished with it? Why do we wait and read two double parshios and then only split Bahar and B'chukosai? Don't know the answer to that question really either, but there are svarim that suggest this is, and this is an old minig, okay, this is a known minig that they kept it this way, and the early Minhagim svarim suggest that the reason that we didn't split it last year was in order to establish the supremacy of Eretz Yisrael over Chutz La'aretz. That in order not to kowtow to the B'nai Chutz La'aretz who live in the Tumas Eretz Amin, we created a minig here. We're not kowtowing to the B'nai Chutz La'aretz. There's no reason for us to kowtow to Chutz La'aretz. We actually push off the conciliatory move as many weeks as possible in order, but yet we need to eventually split it in order to make sure that B'Midbar is the Shabbos before Shavuos. And as I mentioned, next year we will combine a Chukas Balak, which again I don't know the answer for. I don't know why. That's my missing conundrum of next year why we do it that way. So that's Be'etzem. There's a lot more here if you have the stomach for it. All the sources here are very interesting to see why fundamentally we combine certain things and why we take other things away. Incidentally, there is one situation where Nusso can come out the Shabbos before Shavuos, both in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, where the rule for Shavuos is unavoidably broken. Okay, and that's an extreme rarity. I don't know when the last time it happened, but it's not going to happen for about 15 years. It'll happen, and it only happens in a very specific, unusual case where we separate. It only happens in a very specific case. I mentioned earlier today there's also very rare cases where Vayakkel and Pekudei are separated in a non-leap year. But that's the basic thing here. If we had more time, I would tell you why. I would continue to talk about the supremacy of Eretz Yisrael. I would tell you that the Ramban says that all the mitzvahs that we keep in Chutz Laaretz are a chiyuv min haTorah, but they're a chiyuv min haTorah in order to train us to perform our mitzvahs here in the living room of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the schar mitzvah is greater and more intense. I would tell you that the Torah of Eretz Yisrael there is no Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael, and we have to maximize the time that we have here, the opportunity that we have to learn. The Navi Yechezkel refers to the Eretz Yisrael as the belly button of the earth, the Tabur HaAretz, the belly button of the earth. And that notion of the belly button of the earth means that just as a fetus gains all of its nutrition through the umbilical cord, so too the entire ruchnius of the world gets channeled through Yerushalayim. It's Pesukim and Sefer Melachim that talk about the tefillos and the tefillah of Shlomo HaMelech. But the Evan HaShasiya, the foundation stone that is in the middle of the world, is the place in which all of it is in Eretz Yisrael, and it's the place in which all of ruchnius comes into this world. If you look at a globe, you'll find that Israel's in the middle. If you look at Israel, you'll find Yerushalayim is in the middle. If you look at Yerushalayim, you'll find that the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the middle. And that's the notion that this, in this holy place, this is the umbilical cord that is the place where we gain all of our nutrition. So I want to thank you. I want to bless everybody. They should be zochet to be matzliach in their learning and be ma'ola maila maila in all of their ruchnius endeavors.